Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about why you are stuck in one stage, any one stage, and how to get out. This is a common problem. We get stuck in stages. We're going to talk about why that happens. We're going to talk about how to move from one stage to another. But just recognizing that you're stuck in any one stage can be really useful. So we're going to talk about how that happens. Now, before we get into all that, a quick shout out to new listeners in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for this connection. I'm so excited to have you here. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, use the link in the show notes. Head on over to the studio, to the virtual ashram, and let me know how I can help, what you're experiencing. If you have a question, there's a pretty good chance a lot of other people have the same question. So you'll be helping yourself and everybody else. Okay, so why you're stuck in one stage and how to get out. So sometimes we get stuck in one particular stage. It could be any one stage. And when that happens, our growth and our evolution is kind of stifled. And life will seem stagnant. And that's your first clue that you're kind of stuck, right? If you feel like you're in a rut, if life feels somewhat stagnant and unmoving, you could be stuck in one particular stage. So why does this happen? And what can we do about it? Now, in some previous podcasts, we talked about the criminal behavior that can result from being stuck in stages 3, 5, or 7 for too long. In extreme cases, that's not to say that if you're stuck in stage 3, 5, or 7, you're necessarily going to all of a sudden turn into a violent criminal or start harming yourself. But in extreme cases, that is where you find that kind of behavior. But here in this podcast, I want to talk about more of the typical, normal getting stuck in one stage, as opposed to the extreme cases. I want to talk about what typically happens and what to do about it. So being stuck in one stage, it feels like your life is a movie clip on repeat. Every day is Groundhog Day. For example, if you're stuck in stage 2, you'll be telling yourself stories about your experiences and recounting them over and over and over every single day, never moving beyond it. You're just sort of stuck on that one experience. You are having a hard time processing it and moving on from it. You're stuck in stage 2, trying to get over your experiences in that case. If you're stuck in stage 3, you are in kind of a desperate search to meet your needs. And the search to meet your needs just never seems to end. You have needs and you're in a desperate search and it just feels like desperation 24/7. That's stuck in stage 3. Being stuck in stage 4, which you would think, well, what's the problem there? I'm concerned about the needs of others. But being stuck in stage 4 looks like a never-ending trail of people who need help at the expense of your own needs. So it becomes this martyrdom rather than a focus on helping others. It's a focus on your own sacrifice and your own martyrdom. And that's what being stuck in stage 4 looks like. Being stuck in stage 5 is the most common problem for people in developed countries today. This is actually going to be the most common thing. Election seasons only serve to keep you there much longer than you might have been in stage 5 before. And being stuck in stage 5 means this continual loop of anger and offense and fear as you desperately track your political party in their courageous battle with the other political party. And you fear how things might turn out if the other party prevails. That's where the fear gets in there. And you're angry. You're angry at their leaders, and you're offended at their supporters and everything that they say. And it dominates your world day and night. And you check the headlines every day, several times a day. Every chance you get, you're looking at headlines. In extreme cases, I've seen even people checking two or three different headline sources simultaneously. For example, running on the treadmill while reading the newspaper and at the same time having two different live news feeds playing, one on audio and one on mute. Yikes. This is very, very stuck in stage five. So there's a lot of anger and a lot of offense and a lot of negativity just flowing through your day and everything you do. And what's going to happen then, right? That's the signal you're putting out. That's what you're going to get back. Angry things happening to you. Offensive things happening to you. Negative feelings being amplified in every decision and choice you make, even if those decisions and choices don't have anything to do with politics, right? But you are exuding anger and offense, and that becomes the basis of your choices, even in your work life, in your personal life, and then you wonder why things are falling apart. That's what it is to be stuck in stage five. Now, being stuck in stage six is a good bit different, right? Because six is live and let live. And while you're still largely dominated by the news, your desire to live and let live makes life pretty good, really. There's an enjoyable arrogance about being stuck in stage six. You like to tell everyone how right you are, but there's this low-level frustration that you just can't shake. Like this, just this noise floor of frustration. It's always there. And you'll probably blame your frustration on the opposing political party, but you don't do all that much about it. You kind of, you know, you've got your ideology or identified by your ideology. You see other people as identified by their ideology, but, you know, you're going to do you and they should do them, and you're not actually going to take all that much action. So at least you're not acting in anger. You're not acting in offense. And so, but you do still have this low level, this floor of frustration that's always there that never really goes away. So that's what being stuck in stage six is like. Stage seven can be dark, or it can be fun, depending on how many times you've been here before. All right, stage seven is questioning everything. If you become stuck in the dark night of the soul, which is your first visit to stage seven, is going to be difficult and dark. And they call it the dark night of the soul. So if you get stuck there in that first time around in stage seven, you are in significant danger of self-sabotage and potentially of suicidal thoughts. Becoming stuck in stage seven on subsequent rounds can at first look like rampant innovation because you're questioning the status quo and coming up with better ways. Sounds good. But eventually what happens is it turns into rampant indecision or a rampant need to go against the status quo, regardless of if it's innovative or not. You're just going against the status quo to go against it, right? Rampant rebellion to your detriment or to the detriment of the project that you're trying to work on. So getting stuck in stage seven even can be problematic. So the thing is, being stuck in one stage too long amplifies the nature and the character of that stage. And we spoke about this before. See, for some stages that could be a good thing, like getting stuck in stages 8 through 11, for a little while could amplify joy and purpose and connectedness and oneness and consciousness and intuition and a balanced altruism. Nothing bad there, but ultimately you don't really want to get stuck anywhere, right? We are meant to traverse the cycle, remaining longer in the later stages, but never getting completely stuck in any of them. So the question then becomes, how did you become stuck in the first place? And by stuck, what am I defining here? I'm saying we're stuck not because we've been there a long time, because you might be in a stage a long time because you're working on the tasks for that stage and you're making the progress you need to make, and sometimes it just takes time. Stuck means you should have moved on by now. Not by some human standard, but your soul was ready to move on and you were not moving on. And it just feels like stagnation. So how does this happen, right? In each stage, we have a set of tasks to complete. And if we don't complete the tasks, that's when we can become stuck. That's the first way we can become stuck. So for example, if you have a significant portion of needs that are not being met, you're going to have a hard time getting out of stage three until you meet those needs. And the desperation to meet your needs will grow until you do something about it. Similarly, if you don't elevate your ideology to the level of principles, you're going to have a hard time getting out of stage five. And this is why so many people are stuck in stage five more than any other stage. Because you have this critical task, among others, of elevating your ideology to the level of principles and trying to kind of work out your principles to where they're at least consistent. At least you're not being hypocritical within your own ideology, within your own belief set. But you can also get stuck because you've completed the tasks when you've finished the tasks for a particular stage, but you just sort of keep looping through them. And this is usually out of I'll call it a fear, or maybe the right word is apprehension, of moving into the next stage. Because if you move to the next stage, then you're going to have to do those tasks. And there may be something in those tasks that you are avoiding. So you just kind of keep looping through the task and the stuff from the previous stage so that you don't have to go forward and confront those tasks. And so that can also happen. And that is where you get that major sense of stagnation, denial, frustration, and these kinds of feelings. So it pays to look at where you are in your stages, where you want to go. Are you avoiding moving forward, or are you just having trouble completing what you need to do right now? So what can we do to get unstuck? Well, do the work, right? Do the work, do the tasks. Each stage has tasks that need to be done, and it has questions that need to be considered and answered. So do the tasks. Consider the questions. And then you'll get to a point where you will naturally move forward. And not every task is easy. Quite a bit of them are very challenging. But the roadmap is clear. You know what you need to do. If you find that you're having trouble moving forward because you're avoiding a task that you know is in the next stage, you've peeked ahead. You know what's there. You know what's coming. Then I would actually do that task first. Some people have suggested, well, maybe I'll just go do the easier task first and then build some momentum. Yeah, but the whole time that you're doing that, you're still apprehensive about that task, that one task that you're kind of avoiding, right? Continuing to avoid that task is going to cause you to continue to feel apprehensive, and then you're going to bring all that apprehension into the task that you are working on. The way you get rid of this apprehension over that one particular task that you're afraid of or avoiding for whatever reason is to go ahead and do it. Get it done. Get it over with. Face it. And then you're going to feel amazing because you stared down the beast and you won simply by moving forward. And then you're going to feel wonderful, and you're going to take that feeling of accomplishment and capability into the other tasks that didn't even seem that hard to begin with. And then how quickly are you going to move through this stage? So I actually wouldn't tackle the easy stuff first. I would tackle the hard stuff first. Unless there's some foundational element you need in a task prior to that. But if it was that foundational, it would have been in a previous stage. So that's how we get stuck. Let's recap here. We get stuck when either we're not completing the tasks, like for example, in stage 3, we're not meeting our needs, or in stage 2, we're not processing that experience. Or in stage 5, we're not taking our ideology to the level of principles and creating some consistency in our principles. But you can also get stuck because you've completed the tasks from the stage where you are, but you're avoiding moving forward into the next stage because of the tasks involved there. You're specifically avoiding it, right? So either way, stuck is stuck. And even if you're in the later stages, stuck is stuck. As one of my students pointed out quite brilliantly. Even in the later stages, we can try to spend as long as we possibly can in stage 10, stage 11. But ultimately, as we spend longer periods of time in those stages, if you get too stuck, too deeply attached even to those later stages, you run the risk of not maintaining the earlier stages. For example, not processing experiences, not attending to your needs, not assisting the needs of others, not continually updating your beliefs and elevating them to principles, and so on and so forth. Not questioning the status quo. And so if you don't maintain all those other pieces in those other stages, then ultimately your time deep into stages, even 10 and 11, will have that frustration, right? That underlying frustration, stagnation that tells you you've been here too long and you need to go attend to the other stages again. Because we all go around and around and around. Now, attending to the other stages doesn't have to be a year-long journey. You know, when we first approached these, if you approached your personal development without the knowledge of the stages and the tasks and things like that, if you just went about it like most people normally do, right? You get some books and you read them and you enjoy that. And you're kind of fumbling around. But you get there. It'll take you like a decade, maybe more, 10 to 15 years or so. And once you've been through that, you're like, I don't want to go through that again. And that can tend to make you want to spend far too long in the later stages and not attend to the earlier stages because that was a pain. Now, even if you know about the stages and you follow the stages and that gets you there in 1 year instead of 10, you still have the problem that you may think that another trip through the stages is going to take a year. No, because remember, every time you go through them, you're going to go through them more quickly. This is a skill, and you get really good at it. So, for example, you're going to get to the point where you can whip through the entire cycle in a matter of 2 hours. Because once you're familiar with it and you feel like, man, I feel like I'm kind of in a rut. Okay, time to revisit all the tasks. You can whip through them all in a matter of a couple of hours. Potentially. You'll get there. So don't think that it has to take a long time to maintain those earlier stages and to kind of take a trip around the cycle to make sure that your existence in these later stages, 8, 9, 10, 11, is fresh and enjoyable and not laden with any amount of underlying frustration. So I think that's enough homework for today. Keep an eye out if you are getting stuck, if you're in a bit of a rut with your development. Don't be afraid to take on the next task. Don't get stuck, even in the good stages. Let me know how it's going for you, and let me know how I can help. We'll see you next time. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.